Once upon a time, a man found a very strange bottle with a genie inside. When the genie appeared, he said to the man, "I'll give you 3 wishes." The man was so excited, he started to think about what he would wish for. But the genie said, "Whatever I do for you, I must also do twice as much for your worst enemy, the one person you despise the most." Now, the man thought about it and about how horrible his worst enemy had been to him. And he finally decided on his 3 wishes. First, he wished for $1 billion. He received $1 billion, and his enemy received $2 billion. Then he wished for a lavish mansion on a rugged coastline. He received his mansion, but his enemy received one twice as large on an even more beautiful coastline. "And what is your 3rd and final wish?" the genie asked. The man said, "I wish to be beaten half to death." In today's gospel reading, Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan in response to a question, "Who is my neighbor?" It wasn't a new question. For centuries, Jewish scholars had debated whether the command to love your neighbor as yourself from Leviticus 19:18 referred only to fellow Hebrews, to those who looked as they looked, spoke as they spoke, shared the same history. They did not want to consider people who were different from them as their neighbors. People like the Arabs and the half-breed Samaritans, half Jewish and half Arab, who surrounded them. Many Jewish people felt that the Samaritans had corrupted their religion. They looked down on the Samaritans, they had derogatory names for them, treated them as second-class citizens, segregated them from Jewish society, and considered them unclean. Many people are surprised to discover that Jesus had something to say about race. He spoke to the problem directly in this story that we don't usually associate with the issue of racism. We think of his story of the Good Samaritan as a story about helping those in need. Of course, that is an important part of the parable. But we should also note the ethnic identity of Jesus' protagonist. He made the hero of the story a Samaritan, a despised ethnic group by first century Jews. In doing so, Jesus made a powerful statement about racism. Southern Baptist preacher in Atlanta, Clarence Jordan, wrote a book entitled The Cotton Patch Gospels. In his version, he tells the parable this way. A man was traveling from Atlanta to Albany, is robbed on the highway, and his car is stolen. A white preacher sees him and steps on the gas. A white gospel singer also speeds by. Then a black man stops his car, takes the victim to the hospital, and tells the nurse, "Y'all take care of this white man I found on the highway. Here's only $2 I got. Y'all keep account of what he owes. And if he can't pay it, I'll settle up with you when I make a payday." In this parable, Jesus is telling us that to be a good Samaritan, we must say and do what's mine is yours. I'll share it, because they are all gifts from God. It's not enough to say, "Hey, I'm not a racist." And it's not enough just to believe in diversity, racial tolerance, and equality, or to occasionally hang out with people of a different color of skin from your own. Jesus is saying we need to do more. To do more than decency requires. We need to go the extra mile, to take the risks, to cross the lines and go to the other side of the road where people have been beaten and robbed. Think about it this way and ask yourself this question. Who is the last person on earth you'd ever want to consider calling a good guy or a good gal? Who's the last person you'd ask to save your life? Author Debbie Thomas offers these possibilities. What if an atheist is robbed and a good Christian fundamentalist saves his life? What if an Israeli Jewish man is robbed and a good Palestinian Sunni Islamic fundamentalist saves his life? What if a self-declared white supremacist is beaten and robbed and a good black teenager saves his life? What if a transgendered woman is robbed and a good anti-LGBTQ activist saves her life? I don't mean for one moment to trivialize the real and agonizing differences that struggle to divide us. What Jesus did when he deemed the Samaritan as good was radical and risky. It stunned his Jewish listeners of his time. He was asking them to dream of a different kind of kingdom. He was inviting them to consider the possibility that a person might add up to more than the sum of her parts: political, racial, cultural, economic. He was asking for us to see each person as God's beloved. Jesus was calling them to put aside the history they knew and the prejudices they had been taught. He was asking them to leave room for divine and world-altering surprises. We are often asked after hearing the story of the Good Samaritan, well, who would you be in the story? Or who do you relate to in this parable? Perhaps what we need to do is locate ourselves not as the priest, the Levite, or even the Samaritan, but what we need to do is consider ourselves as the wounded man dying on the road. Notice that he's the only character in the story not defined by a profession, social class, or religious belief. He has no identity in the story at all except his human broken need. Maybe we have to occupy his place in the story first. Maybe we have to become the broken one, grateful to anyone at all who will show us mercy before we can feel the unbounded compassion that moved with pity, love, and care, as did the Good Samaritan. Why? Why am I asking you to do this? Because I believe all tribalisms fall away on the broken road. All divisions of us and them disappear because of necessity. When you're lying bloody in the ditches of life, what matters is not whose help you'd prefer to assist you. What matters is whether or not anyone will even stop at all to show you mercy before you die. This is why there is a new emphasis on integrating our churches, supporting and increasing multiracial, multicultural congregations, so that we don't just occasionally hang out with people who are different, but that we actually live in community with people who are different. Stephanie Speller's Episcopal priest and chaplain to the House of Bishops, in her book, Radical Welcome, Embracing God, the Other, and the Spirit of Transformation, offers a continuum on becoming an anti-racist, multicultural institution. The handout is in the back of your bulletin. Go ahead and bring it out. I'm not going to take the time to go over it. But I'd like for you to take a look at it and read it this week. Maybe over brunch. Maybe a Bible study. Believe me, it won't be the last time we'll be addressing this continuum and the work to be accomplished here at St. Timothy's. As your homework assignment, yes, I'm doing that. Read it and get back to our leaders. Get back to me, the vestry members. Vestry, raise your hands. Yep, vestry, oh, Mike would love to have a conversation. So would Steve. Get back to somebody about where you think we are at St. Timothy's on the continuum. What is the work we have to do ahead of us? What I'm asking each of you to do is to commit yourselves to our continuing journey and call from God. Here at St. Timothy's, the journey of becoming a multicultural, anti-racist faith community. To see our racial and cultural differences as assets, as gifts from God. To see the face of God in the one sitting next to you in the pew. To leave room for divine and world-altering surprises. Because we are indeed, each of us, God's beloved. If not, then why are you here? Amen.